Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome once again. We come to you 7 days a week to tell you about our world as it is. We always present interesting stories at a slow speed, and we use words that are easy to understand. It's a great way to learn American English. Today we bring you medical news of a special kind from Cambodia. Then we will talk about politics in the United States. There is a town near Washington, D.C., whose leader is only 19 years old. You're going to enjoy this one. It's time to listen and learn with the Voice of America. Cambodia has some of the world's worst mental health statistics. Experts say the large number of cases is partly a result of Khmer Rouge rule in the 1970s. The Cambodian government spends little on mental health services. The World Health Organization says such services are, in its words, critically neglected. Experts do not believe that will change anytime soon, because few Cambodian students are interested in psychiatry as a career. They have little or no interest in the treatment and prevention of mental disorders. Christopher Jones Cruz reports, many Cambodians must travel long distances to cities to get help, and the help they get when they arrive is little more than a brief talk and some medicine.
Most Cambodians live in rural areas, but few mental health services are provided there. So people must go to psychiatric centers in cities, like the Khmer Soviet Hospital in Phnom Penh. It is one of the busiest clinics in the country. Yem Subotra is the director of the clinic. He says that 15 years ago, it cared for between 70 and 150 patients every day. When our reporter visited recently, the daily average was 400. The clinic has just 10 psychiatrists and 10 nurses or aides. So most patients are treated for just a few minutes and leave with a bottle of pills. Dr. Yem Subotra knows medicine can help patients, but is not the only answer. He says the clinic could help people more if it had more money and other resources.
So we not much time to give good service for them, especially for psychotherapy. We just only some sort counseling sort psychotherapy to the patient.
In addition to the lack of trained mental health specialists, Cambodia does not have the newer drugs used in neighboring Vietnam and Thailand. Cambodia needs more psychiatrists, but few young people seem interested in the subject. Nationwide, just 6 students are taking the 3-year-long study program. Experts say low pay and the challenges of studying psychiatry keep many Cambodians from wanting to get training. Our reporter repeatedly asked Cambodian officials how many doctors and nurses have been trained in mental health care, but the question was never answered. The Cambodian government spends about $1 million a year on mental health services. That is much less than is needed. So it is not likely that the country's mental health care delivery system will improve anytime soon. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Now, Jonathan Evans joins us with the story of a man who has made politics his job, even though he is barely old enough to be called Mr.
Brandon Paulin is the top official in the town of Indian Head, Maryland, even though he is only 19 years old. Mr. Paulin started the job this month. He says his first goal is to bring business back to the town. The area is about 2.5 kilometers wide and sits between two rivers. About 4,000 people live there. It includes small businesses, old homes on tree-lined streets, and new townhouses along the highway. It is about an hour's drive away from the U.S. capital of Washington, D.C. But on the way into the capital, the highway passes the remains of closed businesses. The shops failed largely because of competition from shopping centers in larger cities. Mr. Paulin says when some people drive into Indian Head and see the empty buildings, they just turn around and leave. He hopes to return the town to what it used to be, a friendly, successful place with natural beauty where people want to live and visit. Many, many years ago, Indian Head was a booming town, and that's what I want to get back, he said. I want to entice businesses as much as I can, using business incentives. Right now, the people who own the old empty buildings are permitted to use their properties to reduce their taxes. Mr. Paulin wants to reverse the situation. He plans to charge owners a fee for empty buildings and to increase the cost every year. That way, he says, owners will hurry to establish a new business. Brian Lyles lives in Indian Point and does not have a job. He hopes new businesses will come soon after meeting Mr. Paulin. Mr. Lyles, who is 26, says, I think it's awesome to have a young mayor. The owner of a local health food store where Mr. Paulin buys fruit drinks is also happy about the young mayor. Kelly Murphy says, his age doesn't bother me. I know he's excited, and I feel when people get around him, we feel excited again. We've lost that for many years in this town. Mr. Paulin began participating in city politics when he was 10 years old. At that time, he urged town officials to put in signs urging drivers to be aware of pedestrians, people crossing the street on foot. Mr. Paulin succeeded. Since then, he says, he has been involved in the town government. As mayor, Mr. Paulin earns only $6,000 a year. In comparison, most U.S. legislators make an average salary of about $40,000 a year. Mr. Paulin lives at home and takes college classes online. His mother, Wendy Paulin, says her son accepts challenges and works on problems until he has a solution. Voters in small towns across the U.S. have elected several other 18 and 19-year-old leaders. But people in Dorset, Minnesota, set the record for a town's youngest mayor. Only about 25 people live in Dorset. Each year, they put all the residents' names in a hat and blindly select someone. In 2012, they chose Bobby Tufts to be their top official. Bobby was 3 years old. I'm Jonathan Evans.
If you want to learn and improve your American English skills, you have come to the right place. This is VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. A new study says a widely used insecticide is damaging wild bee populations. Wild bees are important because they pollinate crops and wild plants. Environmentalists in the United States and Europe say chemicals called neonicotinoids are causing a drop in the number of bees. These insecticides are among the most commonly used worldwide. Farmers often use seeds treated with the insecticides. The chemicals target insects that eat crops, and they do not spread beyond the field. But they do get into pollen and nectar, which is where the bees come into contact with them. Mai Ruloff is a researcher at Lund University in Sweden. She led the neonicotinoids study. She and other researchers studied bees in fields. Half of the fields were grown from seeds treated with neonicotinoids. The other half was grown with seeds that were not treated. She spoke about the results of the study in a video released by the journal Nature, which published it.
The most dramatic result we found was that bumblebee colonies almost didn't grow at all at the treated sites compared to the control sites.
She says there were about half as many wild bees per square meter in treated fields as in untreated ones. Dennis Van Engelsdorp is an entomologist, a scientist who studies insects. He works at the University of Maryland. He was not involved with the research on neonicotinoids, but he says banning the chemicals may not be the answer. He says they are not as bad as other insecticides. He spoke to VOA on Skype.
In many cases, neonics are actually the safest alternatives. And so by banning it, what you're doing is forcing farmers to use other products that may either be just as bad or worse.
He says farmers often use the chemicals too much, and that may be hurting bees. Mr. Van Engelsdorp thinks farmers might not need to stop using neonicotinoids completely. He says the chemicals should be used more sensibly, or, in other words, only when necessary. The same chemicals are thought to be linked to a problem with European honeybees, the bees kept by farmers to pollinate crops. The problem is called colony collapse disorder. The worker bees from a beehive or colony suddenly disappear. Farmers do not see the dead bees around the hive. A United States Department of Agriculture report included information about the effects of neonicotinoids. It said the chemicals make the bees more likely to become sick. The bees cannot fight the viruses that commonly affect them. And that's the VOA Learning English Environment and Science Report. I'm Marcia James.